I want to call the Business and Finance Justice Committee to order now. Time now is 6:33. This time, Adam, give an invocation, please.
Much gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, most of all, Lord. Just give us knowledge and wisdom to the nation and the business of the nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. At this time, roll call, please, by April.
Pete Beaver. Randall Hicks. David Hill.
Here.
Robert Huff.
Present.
Adam Jones.
Here.
Chairman, you got four present and one absent.
Okay, four present, one absent, constituting a quorum. Any business conducted by official? Moving on down the agenda. Approval of minutes of May 11th. Second?
Second.
Okay. The roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
And we got three in favor and zero against.
Okay, three in favor, zero against. That's been approved. Next order of business is
I can make a motion to move PR 1785 in front of NCA 17105. They kind of coincide with each other, so we'll have to discuss it twice. TR 85 in front of 105.
Okay, so you move it down?
Yeah, right in front of the S.
Okay.
Kind of goes both hand in hand.
Anybody have a problem with that?
Okay.
All favors say aye.
Aye.
Okay, good move. Okay, first on the agenda is NCR 17-002. A resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation National Council selecting Jeremy Larney to serve on the Muskogee Nation Business Enterprise Board of Directors, sponsored by James Jennings.
Make a motion to adopt.
Make a motion for a second.
Second.
Mr. Larney?
Yes, sir.
Mr. James?
Go ahead. Mr. Larney is turning in an application, and I think he's well qualified for it. I asked him about the top secret clearance that has been required for the MNBE board, and he says he has a book of the secret. Mr. Hart.
The floor is open for discussion. You can kind of give a synopsis about your background and so forth.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time and consideration here. And brief background about myself. I've been in the IT business with Dell and another company for going on 20 years. I've had direct management of profit loss statements, helped lead some of the largest project management entities in the nation. Been anywhere from procurement, logistics, operations, business management, sales management, which I'm currently under within our infrastructure consulting with Dell Technologies. Helped manage a small company in Dallas for a while, developing a PMO at that level. And then finally just kind of overlaying it with leadership, leading anywhere teams from 10 to 20 to several hundred. And ultimately, just by myself, both personally and professionally, integrity and faith in the good Lord is kind of what drove me to the path I'm on today.
Okay. Pete, questions?
No.
David?
No.
Okay. Any questions? Questions? Hearing no questions, motion is to approve. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got three in favor and zero against.
Yeah, three in favor and zero against. That's been approved. Thank you. The pre-agenda, which is 9 o'clock, which is on what the 17th of June for the NBA Risk Account.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Excuse me. Next on the agenda is NCR 17-003. A resolution of the Muskogee Creek National Council selecting Jeremy Larney to serve on the Muskogee Nation Business LLC, MNBE LLC Board of Directors. Your motion
Make a motion to pass.
Hear a second?
Second.
Okay. The floor is open for discussion. Any questions, Pete? David?
No.
Questions about it? Buddy?
You still retain your human resources credentials, the certifications?
Human resource credentials as in?
There's human resource courses that you can take and be certified for different states.
I'm certified through the company, my own company, NTA, that I work for, but no, I don't have any state human resource credentials.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Any questions? Questions? Any questions? Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and 0 against. That's been approved. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, folks.
Moving on down, next agenda item is TR 17-086. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Amos McNagg to serve as the Supreme Court Justice of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Sponsor is Robert Huft. Your motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Here a second.
Second.
Chief.
Yes.
Amos.
Second Chief and I both met with Mr. McNagg and interviewed him and are making a recommendation that he be considered for the Supreme Court position. He has served on the Supreme Court before. We have checked with the Attorney General's office. There is no prohibition against having 2 members of the Supreme Court that represent the traditional side of justice. So we, based on that, we're making a recommendation for Mr. McNagg to be considered.
Okay. Pete, any questions?
No.
David?
No.
Any questions? James, any questions? Mr. McNagg, you want to say something to the committee or a little about your background? Just kind of.
Well, I've been retired since 2009, and I retired from the Emerald Hills Oil Corporation. I have worked for 2 oil companies in Tulsa, one of the city clerk in Emerald Hess, so I have been retired. The only thing that I on the board with is from 2015 to present, I've been on the Muscogee Cultural Archive Collection Committee, but other than that, I'm retired, and I did serve 19 years on the Supreme Court as a justice.
Okay. Yeah, David.
McNagg, when it comes to, I know coming from the ground and also serving on the Supreme Court, is it kind of questionable on how to make judgment on as far as ground issues and Supreme Court? Is it by the law or?
Well, as you know, the applicable laws are what the laws and constitution of the nation. On the Title 26 subsection 1105, I believe it is, it deals with the common law of the traditional people also. So I think 1 year we experienced that in district court where the Tallahassee request that hearing be done in the Muscogee language. And I stepped down from the Supreme Court and acted as a special counsel to the district judge, and we had that case heard in the Muscogee language, so that's available. But all the laws applicable are the nation's law in the Constitution, and also federal law under the Indian Civil Rights Act and Oklahoma law, which is very limited, unless it's approved, you know, like through contracts or where the Creek Nation is involved. But it has to be enacted laws by you people authorizing this, you know, and contracts and stuff like that. I mean, you know, those are the applicable laws of the Muscogee Creek Nation.
Okay. Anything else? Hear anything else? A roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Can you come to the pre-agenda on the 17th at 9 o'clock? the 17th, Saturday. That way the full council can have it. If they want to ask you a question, they can that time.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is 17-081. It was postponed from last month. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation repealing MCNCA Title 21 entitled Gaming and creating a new Title 21 entitled Gaming, sponsored Robert Huff.
Chairman, make a motion to postpone for the sponsor's request.
Okay, you're a second on that?
Second.
Okay, postponed for 1 month. A roll call.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman got 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and 0 against. That's been postponed for another month. Moving on down the agenda is NCA 17-085. I'm sorry, NCA 17-014. For the substitute?
Yes.
Okay. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 37, Section 2-203M, to alter the distribution of funds. Sponsored, James Jennings.
Make a motion to adopt and use a substitute.
Okay. Here, second?
Second. Okay. James. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this is when we change the distribution from our distribution, we put 10% into contract health. And it was for 1 year.
Yep.
What this is doing is to move it forward for another 3 years.
Okay. Any questions?
Is that at the at Secretary Perry's request?
I have been, but just be aware of it.
But it wasn't at his request?
No.
Any other questions? Hearing none, roll call please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman got 3 in favor and 0 against.
We have 3 in favor and 0 against. That's been approved. Next on the agenda is TR 17-085. A copy resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the adoption of policies and procedures for the Muskogee Creek Nation Contracting and Employment Support Office.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Here a second.
Second.
Okay. Sponsor is David Hill. Floor is open for discussion.
Mr. McIntosh, Mr. Stason.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I guess the only one of the questions I have on page 2, I remember last month we had changed that back to 5 and had 2 national council representatives on it. It's removed again.
Yes, on that one, that was done at my request. Part of that was, I mean, the only objective of the certification committee. It's just to certify that the business is 51% owned. I mean, they don't, it's not there to review bids or to select who gets the bid. And so it's just to review the applications that they put in and then to certify that they're 51% owned so they become a certified vendor within the program. And so, I mean, I guess personally, I kind of feel that could be handled within the executive branch by 3 members, and that was why I requested that put in there. And so, but I mean, that is something I'm open to the council members being on there if that's something that y'all truly want, but I mean, I kind of think that's part of it too. That's really what the certification committee does. It just reviews the applications of the businesses and make sure they're 51% owned. Outside of that, I don't think the certification committee has really any other role in the program.
That's similar to the Tarot Committee originally.
Yes.
I served on that one. The only thing is, if there's two present, I mean, if it's a tie vote, how is that going to come out?
I guess that would be the same as if there were four present. It was 2-2. I mean, so.
Well, if you have the other two, that's at least five. And two don't show up, you still got three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just assume leave the two council reps on there.
Okay.
That's my take of it. I don't know what Mr. AJ Jones think about it. But I know the last 2 months, we changed that back to council reps being on there.
Yeah, I mean, within that, I would request that it be the same council members each month if we do go that format, just to maintain consistency within the decision process. And so, I mean, that would be a request on my part, just to, have them assigned for, even if it's like a one-year term, but to maintain some consistency. And then also the familiar with the documents, you know, with the applications that are submitted. And so if we go that route, like I said, I'm not opposed to put the council representatives back on there, but I would request that they be the same ones, just for consistency purposes.
We can do it every 2 years, just, and that's basically what we're doing now with the committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Jones,
I'm okay with it being with that way. If you did leave them off, I'd rather a council member be on the department committee, you know, something that way you would know what's going on as a council full council would. But the certification, I don't know if you really have to be on that side of it to certify. Maybe I can go either way, but I would actually suggest to be on the debarment committee and then at the end on 3.5 as to the certification. That's my thought.
Yes, that's one. I mean, where the debarment committee is what I would consider to be a, if they're meeting, it's a pretty serious matter. I mean, it should be rare and infrequent, the debarment committee meets, but when they do, they have the ability to debar a company for 2 years, for the law, for a minimum of 2 years before they can get their foot back in the door. So, I mean, in reference to that one, that's that would be a very serious meeting.
Exactly.
David, you want to make an amendment to what you want to do?
Put one on the bottom.
No, I'm talking about your first one, page 2. You even highlighted it. How you want to do that?
Well, I'd like to leave it at 2. I mean, there's a chance that both of them showing up, at least one will be there.
So you want to add?
Add 2 national council representatives back on.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to specify a specific which we want, the committee or how you want?
We can discuss that at the work session. Maybe we have 2 volunteers.
Okay, we'll see. So, okay, the motion, David, to
motion on the certification is in and on. You can mark enterprise section and change that back to 5 members.
Okay.
And add 2 national council representatives.
Okay. Then you need to change the you need to change the lower where it says quorum must be established for 3, so back to 3. Okay. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call on the amendment.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 3 in favor and 0.
Got 3 in favor and then against, that's been changed back to 5. Okay. David,
I think you want to do 3.5.
3.5 department?
Actually, that's the one I think most important is what you do. So, make a motion on actually on 3.5 to add. And you've got 3 on there now, so
Okay, so that motion is to make 2 more members on the department committee, 2 from the council. Chair, a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call on that, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
Had 3 in favor and 0 against. That amendment has been made on 3.5 for the department. 5 members. 2 from the council. David, what else?
I'm good. Unless they have any.
Pete, you have any questions?
No.
Dougie?
What are the protections for conflicts of interest with council people as pertaining to certifying or debarring people?
I think it would be the same thing that's in Title 20, Title 31 already. Yeah, against being able to make decisions on something in which you or an immediate family member has an economic interest. That's in 31. That would apply.
So what does that look like when someone has a conflict? Do they remove themselves? Does the committee remove them?
Either way, one of the two would happen.
So the committee, it would be the obligation of the committee to remove them if they didn't remove themselves?
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else? Okay. Back to the main motion with those 2 amendments. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and 0 against. That's been approved. Moving on down to NCA 17-105. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 6, Section 9-103, Section 9-108, Section 9-125, Section 9-129, and Section 9-135 entitled Muskogee Creek Nation Contract and Employment Support Act. Sponsor David Hill.
Chairman, make motion to approve.
Motion made to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, for a little more discussion. David, sponsor.
Before this started, I did send this EU legislation out to Mr. Terry and DME and different areas of gaming. The health and DME was fine with it, which, as you go through here, it seems it's just all pertaining to the gaming. I did send an email Monday, asking for a list of vendors. Did y'all receive that?
Yes, I responded to you today.
Today?
But not with the information, but with nothing.
As it is right now, Mr. McIntosh, Mr. Terry, is this something that would work, or do y'all still have any concerns? I sort of do. Let me just tell you my concerns. If you do just exempt all them, will you have any oversight of any bids coming through? Or
no, sir. If this law is passed, the contract point support office will have not have the authority to come in and look at bids and make sure everything's after the way it should be.
You agree with that, Mr. McIntosh?
Yes, based on the wording in this bill that's submitted right here. Yeah, that would basically exempt gaming and give the office no authority over gaming.
Y'all noticed y'all had a meeting last week?
Yes.
The initial thing, the original thing with this was give our Creek citizens an opportunity to be it, to get on certain jobs. That's the only thing I see. I want to get out of the buddy-buddy system. That's the whole idea was to employ a Creek citizen. I don't know, Jan, you want to discuss? I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
I wasn't invited to that meeting, so I'm not sure what happened to that meeting. I think Andy was the
I mean, we discussed the aspects of the policy procedures, how it affects us operationally, and our efficiencies within the operation. It was discussed that, you know, we would be more than happy to write into our policy procedures that we would, every time we went out to bid, we'd make sure to include pre-carol vendors to be invited to the bid process and also utilize the job on our construction projects. And that's kind of where the discussion ended. It seemed like there was an agreement, at least between people in the room.
Yeah, that was, what we just discussed, the main use of the subcontractors and, particularly on the bigger jobs and then kind of on the remodels and then uses of the job bank and the and employing people in those. And so that was kind of, we kind of agreed from that standpoint that was one of the main things that we were looking for is to make sure that, at least on the subcontracting work, that the certified vendors were given an opportunity to bid. And so, within the job bank as well, is that they were employing our Creek citizens within that. And so, as far as how we go about that, whether it's an agreement or, I guess that's part of the thing that I've kind of struggled with is how to enforce that portion of it, whether to do it. If we exclude them, then it's just an agreement, and then I guess it's a matter of cooperation from that point going forward on Gaming's side, according to this current wording. And so it'd be voluntary cooperation from them as far as how they do the subcontracting and the uses of the job bank.
It would be mandated through our policies and procedures that NASA-certified vendors would be utilized, and it would also be mandated that we would enforce upon them or to be asked to deal with
With that in mind, then why don't we just leave it in the law, then? If you're going to do it, you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Jan had a chance to review it.
Isn't there a substitute or some added language?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where there was another substitute that was sent out today.
Did you get the email I sent you and Lucian?
I think that's kind of where some of us coming from.
Yeah, that was that's the language that
the version
sentence
in the committee excludes him from everything, but then there's additional I guess that's the part I'm speaking to is what the original language was. What the committee's looking at right now just completely excludes me. And then the one that was sent out this afternoon, I don't know if they have that version in front of them. So apologize about that. I think that's kind of where the part of the confusion is from.
So this hasn't been presented yet to the committee?
Just in the email.
The language that actually puts it in the definition regarding the requirement to notify certified vendors, you know, people have to do that, and required to use the job bank. That's not an amendment yet to this committee. So yes, I do agree with this particular language, and I think that one of the reasons why that the GOV wanted to be exempted, and the main reason for the discussion is because they have a lot of different issues that go on after hours and during the weekends. And so sometimes you may have an air conditioner breakdown, or you have different things that they need to go run to the store and get parts because they have on-site maintenance, or they just need to go buy different things that are normally have to go through the procurement process. They won't be able to do that if the law stays the way that it is.
That's
I know that there is some type of way to contact the chief, but if the chief is traveling or if the chief's just not available, then that's detrimental to the health of gaming because of the patrons that are there. I think there was one incident, I don't know how recent it was last year, where the air conditioner went out at Duck Creek. No, it was at Maltby. And so it had to be fixed right away. I think that's really where the discussion is. Gaming is the backbone, or not the backbone, but it's where all the money comes from mainly. And so we're just trying to make sure that
the stability of that and that the customers are taken care of and that gaming has a way to take care of issues as they come up. And then, of course, there's this language that was drafted by Lindsay. So Lindsay wants to talk a little bit about the same language.
Yeah, and I think on the emergency situation, too, I mean, as far as the way that we implement the law, I mean, it's it doesn't dictate that the chief has to get prior approval to the emergency situation. So, I mean, it can occur afterwards. And so I think, at least in that instance, I mean, as far as implementation of it, there can still be decisions made as to what's determined an emergency situation and then inform the chief, and then he can give agreement on that end afterwards.
What if he's to say no? What if he's going to go with this and then we finally get a hold of the chief and he says no? But I think that you have to abide by the law. I mean, that's why we have written laws, and that's part of what we're always talking about, being a sovereign nation and being competent and having a competent court, and then our laws go with that. So I think that it has to be pretty decisive on what actually applies and what is exempted.
The only reason the notification was there from the chief's office is because I don't want to walk up on a job site seeing somebody performing work that I didn't know about. Because if I do that, it's going to make me raise about 15 different questions and start making a headache for everybody. So he can let me know 2 days after the fact, and that's fine. Just that they did have justification to sole source because that was an emergency situation. It doesn't have to be 10 minutes from when it happens. It doesn't have to be the next day. It's a weekend and wait till Monday. As long as he gives me that. That notification that, hey, I did approve this, they're good to do what they want, I'm good with that. That's the only reason that was in there, to allow our office know, excuse me, let my office know, that way I just didn't start raising 15 different questions, calling it for everybody.
Well, I don't think that's the issue, though, with gaming. I don't think that I should really defer to Hatter Andy regarding having contractors come on, different people that you're going to walk up on and wonder if the laws were followed. I think that it's more of emergency situation, we're going to go buy something right then.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be on the weekend, and it's going to be at night, it's going to be after hours, so you're not going to be walking up on there anyway, because it's going to be at weird hours of the night. I know sometimes the people, they're having to do stuff in the middle of the night.
That's something you could judge on the front end, though. I mean, first fiscal year, whenever your contracts are up to those pre-qualified vendors that are actually performing that emergency repairs, you could, on the front end of that, you go de-scope all of our vendors, see if they're qualified to do that work, see if they have the capability to do that work. If they don't, they're off the list. If they are, they're on that list you call them.
Well, that's what you currently do, right?
Well, we also already have maintenance contracts, and also within those maintenance contracts come emergency repair services at times. So we're already contracted with certain vendors that cannot make those repairs in emergency situations. In certain situations, I'm trained. Like the majority of our HVAC equipment is trained now, so we have a maintenance agreement with Train. There's emergency repair services within that. There was a water main break on our property here at Old Mulgee that we had to call out an emergency at 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. And we don't have a maintenance agreement off plumbing, of course, but that's definitely taken care of in-house. There's just, you know, operational efficiencies. You know, the one thing that we struggle as an entity is bureaucracy within running a business, and that's sometimes an impediment to revenue. So I'm not saying that we don't agree with the Carroll Law or anything else. It's just a matter of making the most money, giving it back to the tribe and for our citizens. So, I mean, that's kind of where our standpoint is. I mean, it's up to the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the intent of the law is to, I mean, in those type of situations, I mean, I think there needs to be, you know, level of reasonableness as far as the judgment of it. I mean, I think those are all reasonable situations that dictate it's an emergency. And so, I mean, it's not too...
The emergency is only one.
I was going to say, one of the biggest issues, and we talked about it at that meeting with Jeff Simpson, our procurement director, is, as I recall, the current law required anything over $100. We had to have at least one registered, certified vendor, which is nearly impossible for us to do. We purchased, you know, millions and millions and millions, I mean, thousands of procurement items probably on a daily basis. And Jack Vincent said that, you know, for us to do that, it would almost bring us to our knees operationally. So I think that was one of the reasons why you know, the exemption. I think the emergency thing we do, like Andy said, that can be worked around, but it was just the bulk of, you know, we do the sheer amount of purchases we do, and, you know, having that requirement, you know, when Jack and his people, he just didn't think he could do it.
He sells for everything?
Isn't there? There's also a provision there for reporting of projects 45 days prior to our budget. But during the year, projects come up, they go to the board, they get approved. So, I mean, the reporting aspect also is somewhat operationally
driven. Yeah, that can be something we can work on, the 45-day reporting. You know, because I think that can be very difficult to overcome. On the procurement side, I mean, that is something I think... you know, like I said, it's not to hamper what Gaming is doing on that end, and so I think there's also not, you know, if there's not a certified vendor within that industry to provide that product, then you don't have to get a quote from them because there's not one to get a quote from. So, but there is challenges within that as far as I think, you know, maybe on the procurement side there are areas that we can. Because I think the amendment language doesn't include procurement for gaming as far as that. So, I mean, that's one area that, I don't know, I think would kind of come down to, I guess, what the council's thoughts are on that as far as, I mean, I kind of have to defer to that as far as on the procurement side, on what y'all want to put towards gaming on that side, because just dear to the sheer volume of activity as well as that they do in the purchasing. I mean, I don't think that's something where we can monitor the current staff that we have within the office as well to do a full-fledged monitoring of that, but I think that's something, I mean, kind of have to defer to the council as far as...
I don't think that on the procurement part, you know, if you have a list of people, hey, these certain people, you know, hey, you want to bid? If you don't, you know, here's what we need. Can you provide a lower price? They can't do it. You go on the next one. You know, sometimes I think we make this harder than it really is. We're trying to make it something that, you know, that it's like, oh my word, we got to stick to Terrell. Well, no, you don't have to stick to Terrell. You know, if the price is, you know, use common sense. If the price is not right, you don't go with it. You know, we did a project, a $375 million project, you know, on our committee board. You know, there's people come through there and say, hey, we're Terrell, we bid. Sometimes they were twice as high, and we didn't pick them. They got mad at, so what? Because they weren't high. They were too high. So with all this time, you know, we say, you know, we have a list of vendors that do certain things. You say, hey, we're needing this here. Can you, what's your quote? Well, we quote where it may be. You're too high. Go next week. Sorry. We're not going to use you because we go to somebody else. I mean, I don't know. It's like we're trying to make it too hard sometimes on some of this stuff, you know. I think Terrell was here to help our citizens, not vendors, not to say you get the job, but to say you give an opportunity to try to get the job. And if you're too high, you're too high, you know.
Which is the reason why we incorporated that language.
We have a privately owned and in business person here, and I'd like to get his opinion. Travis.
Thank you.
5 minutes or whatever. Or not.
Thank you, Representative Beaver. Member of the council, appreciate the time. I've been kind of following the different amendments and aspects of what the council has been doing with the program. And, you know, I understand that gaming is our source of revenue, the biggest source of revenue for the tribe. However, like Mr. Representative Huff said, the program, the conception of the program was to help individuals that are members of our tribe, like myself and my wife, to have an equal opportunity in the bidding process. Now, the exemption of this is, my first question is going to be, if we're still allowed to bid, then where's the preference? You know, are we going to get any preference, or we're just going to solidify the procurement process and just say, okay, we got a bid from Terrell, so we're okay now. So, you know, is there going to be any preference allowed anywhere if this is passed? Two is what justification is given for the cost analysis of the Terrell vendors being too high compared to the non-Terrell vendors? Is there numbers or somewhere that that supports what they're offering, I guess.
Chris.
Thank you, Chair. I've listened to the conversation, and you know, we've had a lot of dialogue on this over the last year, last several months, working at the nation with the previous terror law. And I'd like to speak to what the gentleman is speaking about. If you look at, if you studied other preference programs, other preference policies, particularly the one that the state of Oklahoma utilizes, they utilize what's called a local vendor option. So we're basically doing the exact same thing. What they do instead of Oklahoma for local municipalities is they allow a bid process, anything over $25,000 for construction. So I'm just going to speak about construction just for a second. So in the Ace Hardware business, they might want to provide all the supplies for our jobs, et cetera. So we would develop some type of bid solicitation website. Everybody knows if we're going something to bid, if we're having a bid product, it's all out there. Everyone knows. Anybody has the opportunity to bid on that. State of Oklahoma says it's lowest and best bid. And with a 5% variance in the price on the bottom line, that 5% is what they use. I'm not saying it's got to be 5%. It could be 10%. So you're looking at $1 million. On a 5%, it's $50,000. What that does is it does numerous things. If a preferred vendor is within 5%, they're a 51% owned company, and they're within 5% of the lowest bid, they get it. If they're not within 5%, they do not get it. So it's big. So all things being equal, qualifications, and so in supply, it wouldn't be necessarily an issue, but with the service, it would be an issue. So all things being equal, qualifications, bondability, all these different things, if you're within 5%, you're a creek kiln company, or you're a certified vendor under this program, you would get the bid. That's an easy thing to administer for our accounting department. It's an easy thing to administer for us. We can take away all the point systems that they've done. They've had all these different preferences points across the board. We have 10 different scoring systems at the nation in terms of selecting contracts. The other thing it's going to do is it's going to, over time, we're going to be able to track the cost of the program to the Muskogee Nation. So every time we choose a certified vendor that is not the lowest, there's a marginal difference in the cost that we can track over time. And after going through this process for a year, we could actually look back and say, that cost the nation $5 million. I'm just throwing that number out. I mean, it may not be anywhere close. It may be more, maybe less. I don't know. With all the contracts that we have, this is a serious impediment. If you go down this road in terms of the way they're doing it now, I think with the model that I'm talking about, it would be much easier. But you can say, are we willing to pay $5 million a year to support our creek-owned and native-owned businesses? And that's a policy decision for the National Council, and the one that the executive branch could easily administer. Now there is, and what he's saying is there is no, you know, we just awarded a contract just recently, and the electrical contractor was about $2,000 higher, or maybe $2,500 higher on a $50,000. We went ahead and gave him the bid. He was a previously Terro certified vendor, but there's no. It's all subjective. It's very, very difficult to administer. Even the accounting department says, "Why didn't you give it to the lowest bid?" Because, well, it's all subjective. But if we have this 5% of whatever percentage that the National Council decides, we can quantify that over time. It's something that's easily administrable. And if you want to just roll it out for contracts over $25,000 right now, and then later expand that, I think it would give us the flexibility, not only for gaming, but for anybody, because it is an arduous task to try to get a certified vendor for small items, items that you need to react to quickly, and you don't want to violate the law. But if you have some threshold that either $25,000, if you want to lower that down to $10,000, however you want to do that. But there's models out there that are working, and we can put this to a test and maybe look back over time and see if it's going to work.
Back to his question. So are you referring to gaming? Referring to he was referring to, again, he's saying, you know, that it's hurting the casino in terms of dollar-wise, the bottom line. He was asking, have we seen any documentation on that? Has anything presented to us on that line? At this point, the committee hasn't seen anything as far as...
Typically, anything that you would see would be through the construction side. That would be, for instance, the Chicago remodel, the Mulgee, the bar. There's always an analysis done of the cost there. And time is money to us also, because if we're down the casino, then that's lost revenue. So that's always factored in on the time to complete the job. But on right now, it's anything over $5,000 that we have to, then the tarot process starts. So it's not a $100 type of item today, like it would be within the policies and procedures that are presented. So to answer that question, I guess it kind of goes back to Mr. Haswell's statement. We'd have to, I guess, test it, hire some more staff to monitor it and see what happens.
Any question, Andrew? Now, you know, when you guys are going to procurement now, you have people who are some tarot vendors and some who aren't tarot vendors, but sometimes the tarot vendor doesn't get the bid, is that correct? Sometimes they do, right? I mean, if they first...
Now it's within our own policies, and that every tarot vendor should be under $5,000, correct?
So right now, Jack makes a decision whether if a tarot vendor is too high, he's not going to pick them. That's correct.
5% right now for us. I mean,
our internal policy has always been 5% preference. And then a tarot kind of superseded it. Was that what it's called, the I-Creek Act or something? We always did a 5% preference. So anything over 5,000, we had to have all that, you know, minimum of 3 bids. And then, you know, we always used a 5% preference.
Quite honestly, things have changed so often regularly. Been kind of hard to track it. That's been also, I mean, glad it has consistency here too. So it'd be nice just to have those policies intact so we know how to operate.
I agree, we've been trying since January. but as it is right now, Jack is the only one that sees all the bids and all.
Paul Andrews, we have a tarot department.
The larger ones are all taken before the gaming board, and the bids presented, you know, the thing over what? I think the larger projects are all taken before the board, and the bid documents are all, in fact, even small, anything over $5,000. If we buy an automobile or a drawing, all three bids are in a package presented to the board, and they approve it.
Andrew. Does your preference apply to subcontracts on construction? Okay. And the reason I asked that is because I contacted Brent Sassy of I-5 on the Chicago remodel, and I inquired what kind of preference he gave the Native Americans that bid on there, and he said they didn't give a preference, the lowest bid got it. So we could have had vendors that were $1,000 higher on a $60,000 contract, missed out on the contract because they went for straight the lowest dollar. And there's things you can do to offset the additional costs on, let's just say construction right now. Say if a plumbing vendor comes in and he bids $2,000 under what they have budgeted. Well, you got an electrical contract coming in here and bids $1,000 over what's budgeted. Well, you've got room right here to play. So even though the tarot vendor may be higher right here, your overall budget is still as it should be. So, I mean, there's ways to look at that and monitor that and make sure things are still in budget and not costing extra money. You just have to take time to do it.
We always thought that if there was selected a contractor, then it was the job of the CVNS or tarot department to go and enforce what the subcontractors were doing with the contractors. I don't know.
I think it is. Supposed to be.
Chris, Jan, what's your take? I don't think neither one of y'all was at the meeting, right?
No.
Were y'all aware of it?
I was in San Diego.
I'll tell later. I may have been out
of town.
When was the meeting?
Last week.
Last Wednesday.
Thursday, I think. Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. But yeah, I guess that was kind of confusion on my part. I guess which one we're kind of looking at here.
Do you want me to talk about
with the amendments?
Go ahead.
Okay. I wasn't at the meeting anyways, but I was advised that the meeting had taken place, and I'm the one who sent this email, so now that everyone's got a copy of it. Just so we're all clear what the proposed language or proposed options are, which of course the first one was what we discussed last month, which was an outright exemption for GOAB and other profit-generating entities here at the nation for the stated reasons, policy reasons of deregulation leads to more income and higher distributions back to the tribe. And then I had heard about the meeting that occurred last week, and that my understanding from what happened, and like I said, granted I was not there, was that the concerns were discussed specifically about construction and the use of Creek-owned or Native-owned companies, certified companies, and their ability to make sure those companies have notice and the ability to bid on those projects, and then making sure the job bank is utilized so that Creek people in the job bank get first crack at jobs as they're available on construction projects. And so that's what I had drafted, was rather than an outright exemption for GOAB and gaming operations, adding the last bolded underlined section here that says, with respect to GOAB, the only requirements imposed on them under the law would be, one, that they notify all qualified certified vendors of construction projects so that those vendors have the opportunities to submit a bid. But it doesn't address whether or not they get a preference or not. It's the notice that they, so that they know the project is happening and have the opportunity to bid. And two, that any contractor or subcontractor who performs construction work on gaming properties is required to use the job bank to fill any open positions for that project as practical and reasonable. Because like I said, that was my understanding from the meeting, was that's what everyone's concern was, but they're still not the interest in having gaming, all the other regulations be applicable to gaming on all of their procurement for other things outside of construction. And in the email too, I'd also pointed out in that first paragraph that our discussion was, you know, gaming's policies and procedures for procurement and everything else, they have to come to you for approval, to the National Council for approval anyways. So if we're wanting to add this provision requiring notice for construction projects and for hiring using the job bank on construction projects, the same thing could be accomplished by allowing gaming to add that to their own policies and procedures, which would have to come to you for review, and then the council would oversee whether or not gaming's complying with that and making sure they notify certified vendors to get bids and use the job bank, because they report to you anyways monthly at the BF&J meeting. So if there was questions on are they doing those things and making sure they're using the job bank and notifying certified vendors so that they can bid on projects, you have that direct oversight because they report to you anyways, and there's an ex officio member on the board from the council. So we really see that as either adding this language or giving them an outright exemption, and they put these same requirements in their own policies and procedures. I think it's really six of one, half a dozen of the other. But those were the options we were asked to draft as we understood them.
Okay. He had a question. Yeah. He would have before we get, Pete gave him some time. So
thank you. Appreciate that. The only other concern that I had was, and 95% of our business is not entailed with the gaming portion of it, just so you all know. However, I just feel like the accountability won't be there with the Employment Contracting Services Office if you allow the exemption, and to let the vendors on the list be assured that they are getting a fair bid process. Not saying that we're not, I'm just saying there may be other vendors out there that may have the same skepticism about what's going on. You know, 5% putting a monetary value on you being Creek is, to me, is, you know, it's not worth the name and picture that's on your citizenship card that you got. I mean, that's, you know, this program was designed to help those individuals. And, you know, if you exempt them, then, you know, they'll be able to bid. But, you know, where's the accountability and the preference being Muskogee Creek? So that was my concerns about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pete, anything else?
David? Well, this was basically what you asked, was preference and procurement. I know there's a lot of focus on construction, you know, but mine was the whole picture overall is procurement and citizens get preference. And that's the only thing I'm seeing here. I know you said they're going to report to us, but are we actually going to have documentation other than just word?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certain areas where gaming, you know, they need to be able to make decisions kind of on how they do their business, but then there are I guess some other areas where there's oversight, like with the job bank and the subcontracting, but you know, maybe on larger jobs are given exemptions within certain areas, and so that's something. And so, yeah, I didn't see this until this afternoon, and then, you know, so I think there are some areas where, you know, this office needs to come into play in certain areas and make sure that there's opportunity for the citizens, but then maybe on some of the larger projects, gaming, you know, they need to have some exemptions within there, and so I don't, that's one thing I struggle with is how to address that, and so... I guess that's one thing. I'm not sure which one. If we're discussing the amendments or the full exemption. And so I don't necessarily agree with the full exemption, but I do think that they need to have certain exemptions within there for them, for some of their operations.
That's kind of like what Yon had mentioned. Yon, there's going to be emergencies weekend. I totally understand it. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the daily cups, coffee, pop, whatever, you know, that you have to go out being. Because is there any, let's say there's Two Creek Citizen, and has it ever happened that the one with the higher bid got the job? I mean, do y'all know? Other than if there was Two Creek Citizen, one was lower, but they went with the higher person.
Not to my knowledge.
I mean, there's no way knowing unless you said those individuals had
problems. When Jack presents us with a procurement decision that the board needs to make, basically we get all the bid documents and we get a sheet that lists all of the vendors. It'll tell you which one of them were certified, which one of them are non-certified, which one of them were Creek certified. And then he'll give you the justification as to why he thinks we need to select a particular vendor. And that documentation goes with the bid documents.
And then there's a tarot officer too, and she has a form. And when the contracts come to me, I do see the forms attached to that, and I'll have all the bids attached to that form, and it'll say, is there a tarot vendor? And if it says yes, then it'll just go through that tarot vendor. If there's no, they attach those three. So there's two or three different people looking at the procurement process because the casino is definitely trying to make sure that they get the best price. And then right now, because it is part of the policy, is they're trying to go to the tarot vendor unless there may have been an issue before, or maybe they just can't handle sometimes the project. You know, definitely, you know, just speaking from a citizen, I believe in Creek Preference. As you all know, that I was part of the original tarot bill. I very much believed in it because I believe that we should help our Creek citizens. But I also think that the way that it's written right now, and I was at the last meeting, is that there's different instances and it doesn't apply the same. And it's kind of like that with all you guys being council reps, your different district have different needs. And you have to apply those to that particular district as far as, you know, Holdenville or Okemah and Tulsa have totally different needs for that district. Well, it's the same thing with here. It's hard to apply it to gaming and the things that come up in gaming every day. You know, as far as like a legal request law, I have pages and pages of legal request laws because contracts come in all day long. And sometimes I get a contract that we got from the vendor that morning that says, if you want to participate in this particular offer, you get 20% off, you get this or that. Usually it's gaming related, so it's not so much that it's where we have tarot vendors, we have to sign it right away. And so there are different things that need to be considered, and I think that probably maybe there's more discussion between gaming and the new contracting or whatever the new title's called, so that both can understand how to work effectively and sufficiently and to help Creek citizens at the same time. But just having the threshold right now, I think that it's also hurting other departments to make decisions, because I know Mr. Atwell said that the slow threshold is hard.
I kind of had two of them in my ear. It appears that it still needs a bit more to me. Jan, I'm sure, I mean, you weren't aware of it. Like I said, Lindsay did send me a sign, we just got this. Could you work with them? Make sure we get this.
My next Saturday? Yeah.
Well, if not,
can you call another meeting before the council meeting? Or is this for something for
you
next
month? You want to do it next month? I mean, I don't want to rush. We've been rushing, and as it is right now, they still don't have nothing to go with it.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that everybody would need to consider is that the law's in place now.
Veto.
Can veto.
Oh, it's veto?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get the veto, so.
So they still, since last year, 1 month, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you have anything to add?
What's time?
2 minutes.
I think that it would hurt. And I think the whole premise that we're trying to solve is that, you know, the experience from 18 months or so under under Tarot, where we didn't get any discount. If anything, we paid a premium plus what they were supposed to pay us. So it didn't work. So we're trying to put something in place that's not over regulatory, not over bureaucratic, but something that's going to be practical. And that's proven to be more difficult than, but I think we're on the right track. Any example, whether it be our hospital or gaming. We have 24-hour operations, and some of the rules that apply, you could easily lose $100,000 in an hour. And there's a lot of risk on one side of this. Now, granted, there's two parts of this. There's the procurement part where we buy and we know what we're going to be getting and a way that we can proceed there. And then you have contracting where we're going to be soliciting bids from people and then have that selection. So you kind of have two aspects of this. Trying to be fair, make sure we get everybody enrolled in the program that are certified, and those are the key things that we need for this thing to work. So it's taking time. Each time we meet, there's another part that pops up.
Yeah, and I would add to that on the procurement side and reference to gaming. I mean, as far as how we implement the law, I mean, I think that that could be something we can do over the next month as far as how we implement what kind of monitoring we do within the office, is not to go in and hit gaming, you know, just with everything. But I think there needs to be some more discussion on the procurement side on how it affects them. I think that's something we need to have additional discussion on with gaming, is on the procurement side in particular. And so, because I think that was kind of the main sticking issue last week, right, was the procurement side ended at less than $5,000. So I think that's something that we can try to work with gaming on to figure out a solution to get going forward on something that kind of works for them, and then kind of follows kind of the spirit and intent of the law as well. So I think that's something, I mean, it's kind of an overseeing the program. That's kind of my intent. I mean, it's not to go in and hamper the profits in a sense, but I feel like we can have additional discussions and try to figure out something, because I think it's kind of a struggle with the wording, how to put everything into the wording as far as to create that balance in there. And so, but I think the main sticking point for them is less than $5,000. So that's something where, you know, we can put the language in, maybe put some different language for gaming in there, because they do have their own procurement policy.
Thank you. You know, I know we're trying to fix something that's really difficult, and Tarot has drove up costs for the nation. It's cost us a lot of money, and that's what the biggest gripe is. You know, and that's why we get in there and do away with it. And it started all these talks. Even tonight, even you started saying you're dictating what gaming's going to do, you know, just a little bit ago. And that's one thing that we can't do. We can't hamper our jobs, you know, the economy of our tribe, and we're trying to help our small businesses come too, and you know, with procurement, and somehow policy's got to even up with the law. I think we got policies over here and law over here, and we've got to make that come together. but you darn sure don't want it to dictate to our only income. You can't do this, you can't do that. I think we need to postpone it like David said and work on it, but that's what I asked before. How many vendors, like even Travis, his company, have you contacted them on, and before, even before we even started this, hey, this bid's coming in, have you contacted those companies that's in your job bank and say, hey, these are bidding out, do you do that?
Yes, sir, I do.
So he gets every one of those, which is awesome. So, you know, I mean, anything construction, if their policy is to say, we're going to hire, go to our job bank, then we should do that and exempt them and go ahead and roll through it, but still require them to use our citizens. And, you know, even if it goes more than 5%, you know, maybe to help the citizen out. But, you know, at the end of the day, what comes back to the nation helps everybody, you know, in the profit. So, you know, what we say. That's all I got to say.
Okay. David, you
wait. Zero sound, just want to make a motion to postpone it for next month's meeting.
Okay, here, second.
Second.
Okay.
And if Jan, if you can work with him, I appreciate it.
Roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Turning it 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and 1, none against, for postpone for 1 month. Thank you. Now we're down to referred legislation. Linda?
NCA 17108, 109, and 110.
108, 109, 110.
Yes, sir.
Last three. Okay.
Those three will be capital improvement.
Capital.
Okay, you guys hear that?
No.
Hang on, hang on. Right, please. Okay, go ahead.
NCA 17108, 109, and 110 will be funded from capital improvement.
Okay.
Everything else will be out of interest on the permanent fund.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the deferred legislation for funding as Linda presented, the controller, everything from 17085 through 17106 is interest on permanent fund, and the last three, 108, 109, 110, are capital improvements funding. A motion for that?
Make motion to accept.
Your second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Turn me at 3 in favor and 0 against.
Yeah, 3 in favor and 0 against for referred legislation for funding sources. Moving on down the agenda, other business, the GUAB. There's no financial this time. Unless you want to talk about something different. Who needs that decision?
We do financial.
Anything is asked about improvement projects. Executive session only on some council members.
It comes up. I think we're going to another thing. Yeah,
anything asked about,
Okay.
Okay, since the BF&J meeting is expedited and it's earlier in the month, the financials have not been completed, but Pat's got some, I think he got some early revenue numbers.
Yeah, there's some
not finalized.
Early revenue, and it's obviously confidential, but it looks like we had another really good month. The revenues at River Spirit Casino were up 24%, which about $3.5 million over last year. The other smaller properties continue to, some up, some down. But just based on that, it looks pretty good. We should have some good numbers when the books are closed on the 15th. Hotels coming along. We did a little over 50% occupancy for the month. We're full on the weekends and building business. We had about 7,000 room nights booked through our group sales, which is mostly midweek business this year. Landy and I meet with them every week, and so far for next fiscal year, they've got almost 14,000 room nights on their books already. Some are tentative and drop off, but others will be booked too, so that'll build the midweek business. But we're at 87% last night, but you know, we had a concert also, and things are moving well.
The the chiller, the train chiller that has to be replaced. We approved the contract for that last night. That's been ordered. Andy, when's it supposed to go up?
We don't have a date for the crane to go up yet. It's supposed to be 6 to 8 week lead time on the chiller. That was ordered 2 weeks ago.
We're going to have to erect a crane, hope for good weather to get it put back up on top of the building. So,
of course, when are they going to take up the old jogging trail?
There's still some permitting that they're trying to go through with the city.
Okay.
And then we were notified last night at the meeting that the hotel has booked, I guess the United States Marine Corps is going to have a ball. And they're at the ballroom, and I think they said there would be between 500 and 600 attendees. So something nice and neat for the property.
And that legislation has to come to you all because they're going to be bringing in firearms. And so, according to our AG's office, you all need to approve that. There will be security light horse present to make sure they're
not no loud ammunition.
Any questions?
No, I just want to congratulate you on your valet. It is greatly improved.
I'm working on it.
David, questions?
No.
Questions?
Just since we're coming up on ceremony season, I'm already getting emails. I've already talked to Andy about one that had contacted me.
Did you receive the email that I sent you?
I did, okay. And I forwarded that to her because this employee claims that her boss told her that she would have to take PTO and that she could only have Monday off and it was not the fall season.
Right.
And so that's why I asked you, what is the policy?
I had to go find out, but
it's okay. And but anyway, just, you know, remind your managers, be mindful, because it's in your policy that you support employees going to their ceremonies, but when they get pushback from their manager, it doesn't feel like that on the employee side.
Any questions? What else? Okay, thank you guys. Moving down to item I, announcements. Any announcements?
Yes, I do. Show notes. For legislation, NCA 1701. I did receive an email from the church, Sand Creek Reformed Baptist. I did receive an email from my assistant chief from Seminole Nation, and I forwarded to y'all as copy to chief and kind of explain it a bit more then.
Okay. Any other announcements? What was it? Oh, we have the work session. Oh, it was
the 27th, right after the festival.
Okay. Here no other announcement. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So motion adjourn.
Second. All favors aye.
Aye.
Pete, give us the addiction, please.
Our grace to the end, Father, we give thanks for the day that you have provided us today. We appreciate the leadership that you've been guiding us to give tonight today.